Welcome, everybody, to a very special Hot Rod Blues podcast. I'm your host, Sean Brereton, along with, we got the crew back together again.
Amen.
Yeah, we got the band back together. Yeah. Mike Abbott from Steel Rose Metal Co.
Javier Agustin, Bomber Steel Customs.
Sean Young, Kingfisher Metalworks, and other things associated.
That's right.
I don't want to know. I got fancy today.
Yeah, get into that later.
He's got a portfolio.
And we got Matt Marion back there behind the... board for us. So.
On the ones and twos.
And in case you're wondering where the heck we are, and you're going to hear wind noise and all sorts of
Sols.
Goofy noise, probably music. And
some dudes cussing in the background.
Yeah, exactly, all that. We are where, Javi?
We are on the river in Memphis, Tennessee at the Memphis International Barbecue Cooking Contest. That's where we're at.
Right.
This is the World Series of Swine, is what they call it.
That's right.
It is the grand national big-time barbecue deal. If you're into that, this is the place to be.
That's right. And where are we specifically?
Specifically, we are above the international the IFF firefighter tent.
Yes.
That's the city of Memphis. And we are affiliated with Usual Suspects. They were actually kind enough to give us the space above their tent. So
Very
we
nice.
Appreciate them.
Yeah. We are on one heck of a big scaffolding dance floor up here.
Yeah, this is a party. This is a party palace.
It's a wild party down here.
Thursdays
and Fridays, if you're coming ever in your life, if you can weasel your way into a tent or know somebody, that's how that works.
That's the one thing about Barbecue Fest is you got to know somebody.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
it's very mafia.
Yeah, you can come down here if you don't know somebody, but it sure is nice if you do know somebody.
Come for the Pronto Pups, stay for the party.
Right. So do people party tonight?
No. The way the schedule really breaks down is it's a week-long deal. So Monday, you start load-in, which is where you actually start building your scaffolding and building your thing out. Nobody's here for that, just the grunt work. And then by Wednesday, everything's built out. The team members have invite for their families, so the wives understand, he is actually down here.
That's why he's been gone for months on end.
We're going to cook for the kids and the wife. And then on Thursday, Friday, it becomes just a melee party with turn-ins and all kinds of stuff there, too. But nighttime gets wild down here.
When's the judging, Javier? When does the judging start?
So judging's actually already started. They had some ancillary stuff, exotic seafood, wings, all that stuff was yesterday.
Exotic seafood?
Seafood.
Okay.
So like alligator.
Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. If you have access to that, I would like to. Megalodon.
You would probably win.
Yeah.
It might taste like crap, but you'd win.
Yeah, you know.
Because you'd be the only one with that.
A prehistoric cheeseburger.
Pink coral powder. I don't know.
Why not? Something that came out of a glacier that, you know, kept glacier. So.
Yeah, I've seen Jurassic Park. I know how this works.
So let's talk about cars. What all we got going? I know Abbott has a new motor in the panel.
Yeah. Put a new motor in the panel. Well, first
talk about how it happened.
First, I shelled out the motor in the panel, first and foremost, driving to work 6:30 in the morning, rolling down Interstate 55, and just decided to let go on me.
To be fair, that thing was cantankerous.
Well, and that motor had a bunch of miles on it. You know, it had a bunch of miles. I got it from Greg Bourne, and Greg drove the wheels off that thing. And then it sat for about, I don't know, 6-7 years, something like that.
Oh. Yeah.
Which, of course, is the worst thing ever for a vehicle.
That'll hurt it in the heartbeat.
Right? Yeah. We got it back fired up, running again. I got it from Greg. And of course, I went right back to daily driving.
Did you change the oil before you started?
We went through.
Just wondering if there's a little viscosity problem there.
No, we did all of that. But like I say, it had a million miles on it, and it went from setting for years to back to daily driver. So every seal on that motor just started leaking.
Yeah.
And I haven't pulled the motor apart that I took out of it, but it was a god-awful knock in it on the lower end. I'm positive it probably stacked a bearing on the low end. But anyways, pretty bummed about that. You know, I'm sitting on the side of the road. Shelby Drive, I don't know, you know, for the people listening, Shelby Drive in the interstate is not the best spot in Memphis. I mean, it's you know, it's like going home to me. It's no big deal. But if you're not from here, probably not a place you need to hang out. But I lucked up, I'm really stubborn when it comes to breaking down. Like, I don't call for help very rarely. You know, so how's that smell over there, yeah. Javier? Javier covered his mic with his sock.
I think you're switched off though.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds fixed the problem.
I don't hear any wind.
That's actually working.
That actually works. No, yeah. I told you, we need
I'm
those
not going to do
things.
It to yours.
Yeah. It smells like yeah. hell, but...
Take yeah. me
yeah. I'm going to put
smells,
my...
It smells
Mike,
like your feet.
Mike,
is that
take,
what
you're doing? Mike, take your sock off.
It smells like your feet, doesn't it?
not but, mine.
Oh, come on, man.
Maybe worse. I don't know,
Javier. I don't know. That's pretty bad.
So, yeah. So, anyway.
So, I was pretty bummed out, you know, sitting on the side of the road. And lo and behold, my neighbor who owns a mechanic shop right across the street from me, Mr. Jeff at Powerhouse, called me out of the blue. And he was like, what are you doing? You coming to the shop today? And I'm like, yeah, I was on my way, but I think I blew up my motor. He sent me a tow truck, like, on his tab.
Nice.
So I get it Good to the dude. Shop. Yeah, I get it to the shop, and I'm like, man, you know, I need to repay you. He's like, dude, weld up this aluminum oil pan for me. We'll call it even. Cool, no problem. I'm pushing it across the street because the tow truck driver would not drop it in my lot because it was on Jeff's bill. All right, whatever. So I push it across the street, and as soon as I roll out of Jeff's parking lot into mine, Greg Bourne and Tommy Bourne are sitting there with their trucks and empty trailers. I'm like, see, this is what I get for being hard-headed. I could have just, if I would have just called them, they were already coming through there. Yeah, they could have scooped me up.
Right.
But whatever. And
it's not like anybody else didn't call you that day.
Yeah. Right.
We
right.
will never break you of that.
Yeah, yeah. So they asked me what's going on. They listened to the motor. They're like, oh, yeah, that motor shot. And Greg's like, dude, you'll never believe this. That 30-year collection of stuff that I bought, there is a completely fresh, brand-new, unbroken small block Chevy that's identical to the motor that's in this thing. Yeah. Let me get in front of that.
Yeah, all right.
That's identical. So I just had a brand new motor fall in my lap the day the motor gave out.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good.
And you just got it put in there, so.
Yeah, got it in, got it running, driving it.
Bam.
Yeah. Everything's good.
Bam. Awesome. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I have ordered coilovers for my truck.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, hopefully, you know, I've struggled the front end since I put it under. I mean, I have. I've put spacers in it. I've taken the spacers out. That front end has been apart three or four times since
spacers
I've done it.
Spacers don't work very good with coilovers.
Well, no, it wasn't a coilover. Oh. So I was just trying to.
So right now it's just coil and.
No, it is the, I guess it's the strut assembly that comes in a Crown Vic.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what's on there.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
it's a strut.
It's a strut. So wow. The weird part is one of them got a little soft, so we had to heat the other one up to match it. So, yeah, it rides like hell.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got coilovers coming. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm planning on getting the Mercury rolling for the summer.
Dig
so,
that.
You know, yeah, I'm ready to drive. I don't care what it looks like. You know,
yeah.
I got to put a windshield in it and make
I
it
I like
happen.
Your style.
Yeah, there you go. I'm gonna pull a Javier move.
Hey.
Yeah.
Javier had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lost some parts off that car.
Yeah,
that
man. Why not?
They've been replaced.
Yeah.
I hung glass in that thing, you know.
That's what I hear.
That's what I heard. I don't know why, but it's in there.
It's all ready to go.
Was it ready? No.
Yeah.
Did
you hang a deck lid?
That's I did. I did. Good. I bought a whole car just to replace
there
that.
There you go. You need
nice.
That.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right after the motor put in, we went to Blytheville.
Yeah.
We did the Arkansas Mile.
Yep.
You weren't there.
No, I was at Battle in Bama.
You were doing mini truck stuff.
I was working.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were a few mini trucks, but mostly big boy trucks.
Miatas. Yes. Yeah. A lot of Miatas.
It looked like a lot of high-end cars. It looked really good watching it online.
A lot of high-end, like C10s. You know, they have a C10 row, million-dollar row, they call it. And then they have an OBS takeover row.
Oh,
and
okay.
And a Pro Street Pro Street Alley deal there.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, and then they have one other area that's like just like high, super high-end stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it looks like a super cool show.
It's a great
show. I've never been. I want to go.
Yeah.
It's a cool show. It's you know, it takes place right in front of the battleship, USS Alabama.
Yeah.
And normally on Friday night they have a they call it tacos on the battleship, so it's like the welcome party.
They do,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is this held?
Yeah, right, Mobile, Alabama. But this year they didn't have it on the ship because they're doing restoration on the ship on the decking, where they normally have it. So it was actually a blessing in disguise because they did it in the inside the pavilion. Yeah. That, you know, I guess has museum stuff in it or whatever, but they did it inside the pavilion this year, and good thing, because it rained. Yeah, it rained big time. I actually couldn't go to that because I was too busy holding down the tent. Like, the winds picked up and it
over
was
Cossin's
pouring,
car?
Yeah, it was pouring sideways. Yeah, Joe Cossin arrived there in the middle of the storm, which, you know, he's got Evil Ethel, which is like a rat rod,
wide open A model,
top, everything, yeah, A model.
Yeah,
and I was
A-model.
Like, and you know, it's pouring down rain, and we're standing over there, kind of holding the tent and stuff, and I'm like, what pro street car is driving in this? I can't believe that, because I could hear
the blower,
yeah,
the blower,
I could hear, yeah, just whoom, whoom, whoom,
fucking Joe.
Whoom. I look over, and here comes Joe, whoop, 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 and so he comes around, it slicks. It'd been raining most of the day. So, you know, he gets off in the grass, and it's just, you know, slick tires are just, zzz, 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 and he's barely moving, you know.
Dig
so,
it.
Yeah, so we cleared out the tent, our stuff from under the tent, just had him drive under the tent.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he got under there, and then, I mean, maybe 5 minutes later, that's when the wind really started kicking. And boy, it was, howling, I mean, huh? Yeah, we ended up having to take the tent down. He was like, don't worry about it, just. Let's just take the tent down. We had everything we could do just to take the tent down without it just collapsing. You
become
know?
A parachute.
Yeah, it blew over a few big wow. big tents and stuff that yeah. were held down. So, you know, it was
right.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. But
Joe's awesome.
Yeah,
that's one of my of that style of car. Yeah. Probably my favorite.
Yeah. It's cool, man.
It's got such good attitude, man.
Yeah,
great
and,
car.
And
great car.
Who painted that? That was Rose.
Rose.
Yeah, Rose painted it, and it's that. Girl on the back with the gas mask on is
epic.
Just it's, so cool.
Yeah,
so
it's cool. A neat car. I'll definitely put some pictures of that one up. That, yeah. That's a cool car.
Yeah. So
they should have known it was going to rain. They invited you.
I know, right?
come to Vegas.
Everything I do. I know. Vegas, it rains. Mobile, it rains.
Woe is me, Sean.
Yeah. That's why I ended up driving the Fairlane down there, because I registered the 55, but once I saw the chance of weather and stuff, yeah. I was like, man, I don't want to have to deal with all that.
You had a scare with the Fairlane.
So yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. I thought the PCM went out on it, and it was. I was actually driving to the Thursday night cruise in, and I hadn't been, and you know, really since the beginning of the year, you know, and so I was like, all right, cool, I got time, I'm gonna go, you know, and hopped in the car, and I was on 385 by my house, and I'm rolling along in the passing lane 75 miles an hour, and I looked down, and I felt the car kind of slow down a little bit. I was like, what the heck? And I looked down, the dashboard's out, and I'm hitting the gas pedal, and there's nothing. So I'm like, oh. So I managed to pull over, and just dead. I mean, I
wow.
dead. So
tell him what his problem was, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Tell him what his problem without telling him what his problem was.
Mike. A fuse.
Yeah, it was a fuse. Well, when I got it back, so Chris came and picked me up. Thank you, Chris Johnson. He came and picked me up, and you know, dropped it off the house. And I went through the ohm meter, and yeah. I swear I tested every one of them, but I must have missed that one 15 amp.
Probably
fuse,
because you were cussing and you were freaking out about a $2,000 ECU.
Right. Well, the biggest problem was I was researching. You know, Ford Racing doesn't make that harness anymore.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah. So I'm great. Like, yeah. And I called Ford, and they're like, oh, we haven't made those in 10 years. And I'm like, great. This was built about 10 years ago, you know? And, yeah, we're all, like, ducking to try and get the wind noise out. You know, the guy was looking into it for me, but who knows what, you know.
I got you.
If anything would have happened with that. But it is making me think that I need to probably chase after one. So
or just go to Holley Terminator X, man.
Yeah, nah.
I'm
not going to do Holley.
I'm going to
do Holley. Yeah, Edelbrock
and
Fast. Got?
Tell me all about Fast.
Yeah, we have
Fast.
Both. Edelbrock and Fast.
Well,
either one.
Go ahead and pitch it, baby.
So, yeah. Pro Flow 4?
I've got a comp banner. Let me go
fast,
get that.
Yeah, or a Fast Sportsman.
Yeah.
Either one. But man, I don't want to go through all that wiring. I mean, that's
you probably don't have to.
No.
You know?
Well, I mean, you would if you know, if I ended up having to go with another system.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You could probably repin the ECM.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, that was the thing is so it was kind of funny. PCM is not really easy to get necessarily. Yeah. I mean, you got to. Yeah. Yeah, finagle stuff. You got to have a VIN and right. whatever. Oh. And the thing was, is like I could have BS'd it and got a VIN, but it would have been a VIN for a 2009 Mustang, right? So the 2009 GT500.
I think we're still on.
Yeah, y'all are on. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what he's trying to tell you.
It's been a while. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But you know, a 2009. If I got a PCM for a 2009 GT500, right. it's going to have all the extra stuff on it still. So, you know,
right.
power brakes or, you know, ABS. And,
also,
yeah,
all
and
the
all
anti-theft crap.
Yeah,
Ford puts a lot of anti-theft crap in there.
So I would have to find somebody to flash it again. But a guy told me the other night, he's like, man, what you need to do is, you know, plug into the get somebody to plug into the OBD2 and download your tune.
Good call.
So you save it?
And then back it up.
Good call.
I was like, yeah, that's a smart idea. So
you should contact my buddy Brian about that.
Yeah.
All right. He can do that for
me. Yeah, I need to do that for sure. But no, I took it over to Stepan. So, you know, I was like, I don't know. It's nothing. And Stepan messaged me, and he's like, dude, just bring it over here. He's like, it's not the PCM. I'm like, okay, but I have no idea what else it is, you know. So I took it over to his place. And, you know, 10 minutes
he pulled
later.
A 15-amp fuse
later,
out, put it back in, cranked it up, and said, get the hell out of my shop.
That was pretty much it. No, but, he went and looked at it for me. And it was the fuel pump and the dash are both going to the same fuse. They're going to a 15-amp fuse.
One 15-amp fuse?
Yeah. Which
that doesn't seem correct.
No, that's not correct. So I'm gonna have to get the
stick a 30 in there.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
exactly.
Done.
That is it. That is.
I can save you some time, pal.
Yeah. Well,
and a lot of money.
Right. The fuel pump should be going through the.
It should have its own
power. It should be going through the power distribution box for the Ford Racing
dedicated
thing.
Yeah.
And. You know, it's always like when you turn the key on, it comes on.
Immediately.
And it stays on 100% all the time. So if it goes through that distribution box, from what I understand, it'll modulate it and do what it needs to do, you know. So
Yeah, all that's supposed to be computer controlled.
Right. So at some point, they'll have to
deal with all that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's not cool. Well, if it wasn't computer controlled, he wouldn't have all these damn problems.
Tell him his problem.
Had a damn distributor and a carburetor on that bastard.
That's right.
Tell him his problem, Mike.
Yeah. It doesn't have a flathead.
It ain't. It's got valve covers.
Well, yeah, but I can also
drive
it to Mobile and
I'm
back.
Just saying. Ain't
no time.
I ain't never change a PCM on my flathead board, ever.
Yeah.
It has not run like a piece of crap before. But it's,
I ain't never changed one.
Yeah.
So start.
I know Matt's not on camera, but out of all of us, Matt has made some strides on his model.
Absolutely.
A.
And why didn't we give Matt a mic?
Like, he's got a mic. He's got
a mic. Put the mic there. The furthest away from him as possible.
Does, you know.
I don't think they wanted you on it.
Turn it on.
They don't ever want me on.
There he
is.
I know.
Tell us what you got going on, Matt.
You can't see Matt, but you'll hear him.
He's wearing a black hat, a black shirt, and shorts.
Well, what we'll do is we'll put pictures of your car up while you're talking.
Yeah. We'll have Philip Photoshop.
Photoshop you in.
Yeah. Yes. Really good. Philip, I'd like to be out there on a boat. So if you're listening to this, that'll work.
I fully got this. This is so going to happen.
I saw the recent Photoshop with you. That was really nice.
Oh, yeah,
it was
good.
It was good.
Other Matt, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So my car is driving. Like, I can drive it.
There it is.
Keep on going. Yeah, so I got a little bit left to do on the car. Going over to Sean's today and playing with the third member. Adjusting it, putting a posi in it. Man, I'm putting a posi in, hooking the trans cooler up, and I could start daily driving it, playing with it. So
nice.
It's running good. I got the transmission to shift. I thought I was gonna have to replace transmission.
That's good.
It turned out to
epic.
Just be the pressure. Yeah. Was not regulated right, so
it's kind of funny. Mike had just a bunch of transmissions laying around. We picked up one and stuck it in the car, and sure enough, it's good.
Yeah,
still works.
I mean, that's how we do it, right?
That's it.
Actually,
that's
funny how that works to be 100% honest with you, so we picked up the transmission I had laying around, and it was complete garbage. But luckily, Greg Bourne had brought an AOD to my shop as well, and we were going to send it off. So we're like, Greg, my transmission's garbage. He's like, I don't care. I want a case to be rebuilt. So if you need to take mine, Greg Bourne's worked just fine.
Perfect. Perfect. Greg has bailed us out of more crap.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
We need to have him back on the show.
Man, Greg's awesome guy.
He's a good dude, man.
Fantastic.
He's a rotter.
He's a rotter.
He's a rotter. That's pretty epic.
Speaking of rotters, fancy jumpsuit at the mile. I didn't see. I wasn't there. I was.
Yeah,
there.
No, you weren't there. Warrington wasn't there.
Yeah.
Nah. Where's my
look,
jumpsuit?
I
wasn't there.
For most of
it. Yeah, for most of it, Matt wasn't there.
So, tell us a story about Matt.
Well, so pretty much we get out there. Rod Austin came into town. He hung out with us. He actually helped out that Friday night when we were thrashing, trying to get the panel together so that I could drive it. Didn't happen. I mean, we pulled the plug at about 10:30 at night. It was like, it's not happening.
I pulled a muscle at about 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Javier was there for that. And Matt Marion, just killing ourselves trying to get that thing going. Didn't happen. So we all load up and we roll out. Tim Scott was like, look, I got something in the morning. I'm going to come after. All right. So Marion sent him the address. And I guess
this is great.
Tim did not, when he put it in his maps, he didn't look at the city. He just clicked the first address, right? That was the same. Well, as most people
I'm going
know,
to Blytheville or Alaska.
He went to Meridian, Arkansas, instead of Blytheville, Arkansas.
Yeah, as most people know, Meridian
is. 2 hours in the other direction.
Yeah.
What?
So he calls us and he's like, are you sure this address is right? He calls Matt. And Matt's like, yeah, I gave you the address. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. Wrong city.
No way, dude.
Went two and a half hours
I
ago.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, that's funny.
Going north when you come over the bridge and heading straight north, he went just straight west.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kept going.
So, like, past Forest City,
it's
a Little Rock.
I feel like
Siri is like, in 2.5 seconds, you're going to realize you messed up.
The weird part about it is Tim Scott has come with us to the Arkansas Mile every time we went. Like, but I guess, you know, you get in the habit of blindly following the maps, right? And you're just rolling. You're thinking about your life, I guess. I don't really know.
Got the tunes. Today's going to be a good day. I'm making good decisions all day.
Yeah, that's right. You got Buddy Holly playing in the background. You're just enjoying life, right? And turns out he went the wrong direction. So we're like, hey, go ahead and turn around and come on back. Right?
Yeah.
We'll see you in a few. What was it? 20, 30 minutes go by? Get another call from Tim Scott. Hey, man, my transmission just puked out the front main seal in that thing. So he
and this
broke
is a, what,
down
57?
56 wagon. 56 wagon.
56, Ford Country Squire.
But,
wagon.
I mean, you know, it does have valve covers on it. It's fuel injected 302 with an AOD, which the seal had been leaking for a while.
Yeah,
but it was just subtly leaking. Well, it decided to go ahead and do all of the leaking on the road. That's and
polish it off.
Yeah, so he calls, and you know we're in the middle of everything, and thank God, other Matt or Roadster Matt, whatever we're gonna call him.
Yeah.
Thank God, he had his truck and his trailer. Which really, when you think about it, everything turned out great because I was supposed to haul his Roadster with the panel.
Yeah.
I don't know if the panel would have liked pulling that 56 wagon on a trailer.
Right?
Yeah. But because the panel didn't go, other Matt took his truck with his trailer and his little Roadster on it, which, by the way, other Matt ran his Roadster on the half mile. And, man...
Tell us about his Roadster.
Wait a minute. Finish.
Yeah,
the other
let me finish
first.
That. So he calls and Matt Marion jumps in other Matt's truck, hauls ass to go get him. Matt Marion basically missed the entire day.
Oh, so Matt Marion got there and then hopped in Matt Clark's.
Went and picked up Tim.
Nice.
Hauled Tim to his mother's house in Marion, Arkansas. And then I guess home. Did you haul him home after that?
No, so I had to go pick him up in Meridian, Arkansas.
Oh, you had to go back to Blytheville to get other Matt's
then
Roadster.
I had to bring the wagon to Marion, drop it off at my mom's house, to head back to Blyville to get Matt's Roadster.
So really, you just drove all day?
I just drove the whole day.
All day.
I didn't see any racing.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see him or Greg run.
Yeah, but man, I'm telling you.
It's all good, though.
You know, like, you know, with the whole Rodders thing, right? You see all these old pictures of the Rodders. Well, I don't know how many people know the history of it or whatever, but so they started in 47. Very early on, they went to an airstrip and started illegally drag racing in Halls, Tennessee, on an old Air Force base. So all of the early pictures that you see of the Rodders is at an airstrip, right?
Right.
And it really didn't dawn on me that when we were going out there, you know, we're going to run Greg's car, flathead powered, super cool car. We're running other Matt's little A model, which is a bone stock A model.
Bone stock.
With no fenders on it, just a really old world. You know, it looks like an early days hot rod, what a teenager probably would have done, you know, in that time. But all those pictures are from that. So as we're setting up, thank God for Steve, the guy that runs the Arkansas Mile. If you're not familiar with the Arkansas Mile, we plan on doing it again in fall. Make it a point to come out to the Arkansas
October
Mile.
6th and 7th, I think, is
Yeah, it is. It is. There's just something about it, you know. It's an old Air Force base that is leased out by a company that sells parts, so there's like half disassembled planes everywhere that you're driving through. Yeah. It's just epic. And the moment they pulled out there, you know, we didn't even know we were going to run. Steve came up and he was like, you guys got to run. We're like, okay, cool. So, you know, we do the paperwork and we're going to run. Look, we only had one jacket between the two of them, one helmet between the two of them. So one of them would run, come back to the start line and pass his jacket and his helmet to the other guy.
Probably just like the old days.
Which again, it's just like in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it was, you know. But I'm sitting there and I'm taking pictures, and I know I'm not a photographer like you, and I'm not all I got my little camera or whatever. But as I take the picture and I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, this feels a lot like those pictures. Like it felt like, you know,
nostalgia.
This might be a historical moment later on, you know. So we run, and man, other Matt, you could tell he was nervous. Like he didn't know he was going to be running.
Yeah,
and that was the first time he ever really drove that car.
Right, and like it still had original tires and stuff on it. Right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tires.
Huh? Yeah, the tires had dry rock cracks in as big as my finger.
He was in.
I thought he was going to
1929.
He was in a pit with a shoe polish like Bert.
Bert, I'm rolling it.
Yeah. Look, and it was to the extent that, like, you know, you're in a line, right? And I mean, I'm talking, you're running with GT40s. You're running with there's Lamborghinis
and
out there.
And he smoked them. It was amazing.
With a front end four cylinder.
Triple turbocharged. I don't even know what it
is. He probably beat somebody.
But look,
he
you know,
made it all the way down.
We're out there with these cars that are, I'm talking, you know, we are out there with these cars that are way up there. And motorcycles, they let you run, you know, all that stuff. And like everybody that is waiting to run is walking over to gawk over other Matt's A model Roadster. They're like, oh my God, what year is it? And of course, a couple of guys are like, man, those tires are dry rotted. Are you nervous? And Matt's like, no. And so me and Matt are talking, and he's like, man, what do you think? And I said, well, they advertise these things at top speed at 45 miles an hour. So if you do anything near 40, like I'm calling it a win. And, you know, it's just a big buildup. People are walking around, and you can tell he's nervous as hell.
Hell yeah.
He's nervous as hell.
Everybody looking at me and stuff. Right,
yeah. Plus, he doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Well, I mean.
There's that.
In reality.
Hey, 39 miles an hour in a roadster is enough to kill you.
I mean, I feel like I'm just going to bail and just roll.
That's
you.
You
know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah. Matt's going to be like Wile E. Coyote holding the steering wheel with his butts dragging around.
Easy.
Yeah. But so he gets up there, and he takes off, and, you know, it's unsynchronized transmission, you know, and you can tell that he's, you know, he's a little green on that, and you can see it as he's taking off. But man, once he starts going, he starts giving that thing. He went for it. He was giving it everything that it had. And man, all of the people that don't know us, you know, and all of our people were standing there at the little trailer where they do the announcing.
Yeah.
And They're like, Matt Clark, A model roadster, 48 miles an hour at the half. And you would have thought he went a million miles an hour. The entire starting line's like, yeah! Like, over 48 miles. There's cars doing 200 out there. Yeah, right. But that A model did 48 miles an hour, and it was just.
Must have had a heavy tailwind, huh?
Well, no, no, it was actually a headwind.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, it was actually.
For takeoffs, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about a 20 mile an hour headwind.
Nice.
The guy in the Factory 5 car was like, this is bullshit.
See, well, you know, they always overrate, you know. They always underrate.
Yeah,
what,
back
what
in the
cars
day
will
they
do,
did.
Right? You know?
Yeah. Well, and he took all the fenders and stuff off, and, you know, maybe those guys in the old days, they were onto something. Like power to weight ratio, he stripped everything off that thing that wasn't essential.
Body in a frame.
Yeah.
Take floor mats out.
Yeah. Yeah, but we had he doesn't have floors.
I know.
took the floors out. Took the floors out.
Yeah, took the floors
but
out.
Yeah, it, we just it was like being back then. We had a blast, and really, to be honest with you, I think attendance was kind of down that day.
Yeah.
But you know, Don Gilmore in the Iron Dinosaur, like he's like, you guys come out here, we got cookies at the pit, like, and they're always super, like, come on in and join us, and then, you know, just all the guys there are fantastic guys, and it was really, really one of those days that I was like, man, this was something special. Yeah.
So we've got the Hot Rod Blues alum racing. What did Jeffrey go out there?
Yeah, Jeffrey. Well, it's unofficial.
Okay,
and I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell it as PC as possible because I'd rather Jeffrey tell his story himself. But basically, to what I gather, he was supposed to run like the half, and then the three quarter, and then the mile. But Jeffrey is. You got something to speak on that?
He was supposed to license up.
Yeah, he got
license
up.
He's never ran but he's, level right. for the SCTA event.
Right. He's never ran ECTA.
He's never done ECTA.
Yeah, he's SCTA licensed.
Yeah.
But he's not East Coast licensed.
Yeah.
But, of course, Jeffrey being Jeffrey, and I love that about Jeffrey, he's so unassuming. Like, he does not look like who he is.
He looks like he programs computers for a living.
Right. But he's like.
Because he also does that for a
living. Right. But he is such a, like, you know, he has this punk rockness to him that I just think is fantastic.
He's
and
a rebel, man.
He does not look that way. So, you know, I think he got his car up and running to where he liked it, and he was supposed to license up, and he got on the starting line, and he was like, eh, fuck it. We're doing the whole mile.
Let's go.
What are they going to do, stop me?
Right, and he was one of the first cars to run that morning. He did 240 and some change.
And that was on the low boost. I saw that run.
Yeah, the full mile. He was supposed to do half mile. He did the full mile, 240. They came out there flipping out on him, and he decided, well, you can't fire me, I quit. So before they kicked him out, he loaded up his stuff and rolled out. I'm like, Jesus. That is punk rock.
The accelerator got stuck. What do you want me to do? It's a technical difficulty. Anyway, see you in Bonneville, Denver.
Right. Epic. But, yeah, we talked about it. I was looking around the pits for him, and I'm like, where is Jeffrey at? And I call him.
There
he's like,
go.
Hey, man, we were about to get thrown out, so I just rolled out. I was like, all right, cool.
I went out of my own terms.
Right.
Wow.
He's going for three at Bonneville. Is that what we're looking? What's he? What?
I think he's going for 300,
He's going for three, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Around 300. I don't know what the actual record is.
I'm sure that's what I saw on the Blues page was his run at Blyville, which was the 240 run.
Probably.
Did you see that? The pit. Yeah. He's got a GoPro.
Yeah.
He's got the air shift on his. Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah.
That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he came by the shop yesterday, I think it was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he brought, you know, there's this floor pan to this Dodge that, of course, they don't reproduce. And he's like, Mike, can you reproduce this floor pan? I'm like, yeah. So him and Bucky came over to the shop, and we shot shit for a minute and talked about it. And I don't know. I like Jeffrey. I like his, you know, I don't give a shit type attitude. I just think it's fantastic. And plus, you know, he just doesn't look like that guy. You know what I'm saying?
And he programs computers.
So it's so like you just don't expect it from him, and I think that makes it even better. Yeah. Like, you would expect someone that looks like me to act like him.
Absolutely.
But someone that looks like him, you would expect to act like me, which dogs, is really weird.
Yeah. Dogs and cats living together.
It's epic. I like it.
No doubt, man. Yeah.
So which, it's all a good conversation, because we've got Bonneville.
Oh, yeah.
Right around the corner.
So before we go to Bonneville, what did Greg Boren run in his dad's 35?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he, no, I think it's a 33 or 34.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it's 33, 34. Flathead Boward.
Yeah.
My guy. That's what I love about the Bournes. Like, everybody talks trash. They're like, oh, you, at least I can drive my car there. Your car got flathead. You can't drive. Well, Greg Boren did it. 85 miles an hour all the way to the Arkansas mile. Put it on the line. Didn't put it on a trailer.
We'll call BS.
Put it on the line.
He didn't drive 85 on the way there.
That's only because Rod was leading.
Rod led and went 55 mile an hour the whole way. I'll tell you what, the 300's cruise control would not even set because it was going so slow. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I promise you.
Well, no, that's, look, it's just, he was, well, it doesn't have a key anyway.
He was swerving on the interstate trying to slow down, but I was riding with Rod in his wagon, which I love his wagon.
Yeah.
Big block powered.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And it's so cool. And his trailer, if you've never seen Rod's camper,
oh yeah,
it matches his car perfectly. Yeah. No, he hadn't made his trailer.
Oh, he did? Okay.
He made his trailer.
Yeah.
But
very cool.
Yeah, so but regardless of that, Greg Boren drove the flathead powered car there and then ran it. And Greg, there was a Lakester there, a belly tanker with a flathead in it. And it did like 100, 102, something like that. So Greg was hell-bent that he wanted to be the fastest flathead there. Now, when the belly tanker ran, there wasn't a 20-mile-an-hour headwind.
Yeah.
When Greg ran, it was like 20, 22-mile-an-hour headwind. And the belly tanker was doing the whole mile. They were only letting us do half mile.
Ah.
Right? So at half mile, Greg did 91 and some change. And then the second one, I think he did right at 92 and some change.
Nice.
But, man.
Probably would have got there in a mile.
Yeah, in a mile. Yeah. In a mile, I think he could have done that 8 more. Yeah. But, man, who cares? We had a blast. And, like, seeing that car run, you know, and the funny part about it is so that car belongs to Tommy, right? So he calls his dad, and he's like, you know, Greg's car's down. He's like, Dad, I'm going to take your car out, you know, I'm cruise out to Blytheville and go check out this mile. He didn't know that he was running it. Greg didn't know that he was running it. But Greg gets there and gets the opportunity. He's like, ah, I guess I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness and permission. He runs Tommy's car.
I feel like this group
has... Isn't that what a son is supposed to do?
Right.
This group has a history of doing that.
Yes.
Tim Scott being the
one. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's probably the reason why his transmission gave out on him.
I feel like that, yeah. The Byhalia run is what did it.
In all fairness, when we built Scrappy at Byhalia, Tim Scott had just got that Ford.
Yes.
And he had had it like 3 weeks. And we're walking around. Matt and I are walking around and looking at cars. And Tim said, hey, why don't you take my car if you guys just want to cruise around? So I put it on the track.
Look, right after Tim gave him the keys, Sean went walking by me, and Sean was like, watch this. Pay attention to the track. I'm like, oh, God.
I can just see Tim. I wasn't there for that exact moment because we were over there messing around with Scrappy, but I just picture him, unassuming, quiet guy, eating nachos as his car goes.
And you didn't baby it either, did you?
No, I did. I didn't flog it.
All right.
But I guess the moral of the story is don't loan your car
to anybody in this group.
If they have a stopwatch out, don't do that.
Right, right.
Because we're going to see what it can do.
But yeah, Matt and I went down and the guy was waiting for me for the burnout. And we just didn't do it. We just kind of rolled up and just kind of eased off. And everybody was just, what the hell's happening? Is he going to run? You know, we just got to cruise down the strip. Yeah. Ran probably a 30-second quarter or just kind of cruise, blowing the horn.
Giving her all she's got, Captain. Yeah. That's all that thing could do, probably.
That's hilarious.
Blytheville was epic. It was a great day. Everything about it was just awesome.
I missed it.
It was great the first time.
I made money, so it was good.
Yeah. It was great. Every time I've been to Blytheville has been fantastic.
And it's one of those things you're like, oh, how's it going to go? And it's always great.
Always.
Because at the end of the day, you're doing fun car stuff with your fun car friends.
Yeah. I wound up riding in a push truck with Don Gilmore, pushing off the Iron Dinosaur, which is fantastic.
Neat,
helping helping load the chute, you know, those pictures where I'm in the jumpsuit. Yeah. And I got that was me loading the chute. I can't remember the girl's name. Do you remember the girl's name that ran, Matt?
Yeah, Liz. I don't really know her last name.
Yeah, Liz something, but Don let her get licensed
Liz.
Up.
That's Liz Liggett, Yeah. She's a photog. You should know her. Yeah,
yeah, I know
her. She's super, she and her dad are super-duper Bonneville people.
Yeah, she
follow her on Instagram.
A lot of stuff.
She's cool.
Yeah. So Don let her get licensed up in his car.
Yeah.
So she drove his car.
She's Bonneville ready, that girl.
Nice.
She's got her license and everything. She'll be out there.
Yeah, I got time.
So what, is there a plane flying around?
No, I think there's a bulldozer or something.
Bulldozer.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, that's I think that's a telehandler or something.
Yeah.
It's a wild whirlwind adventure out here. They're getting ready for judging.
And
we'll be winding down here in a little bit because we actually got to vacate the space.
So we got to get out of here.
Or we're going to get trapped till noon. So.
Yeah.
Right.
So if I disappear in about 10 minutes, I just take these off and roll out. I have a graduation. My daughter's graduating.
Mike's finally graduating.
It only took 40 something years.
Now,
I don't even have a GED.
It's a beauty school dropout.
Right. That's right. Beauty school dropout.
So I'm going to pitch another episode for us, and I haven't reached out to these guys yet, but they'll do it. I want to bring Lightning on the show.
That would be awesome.
And I want him to discuss the history of his Green 32.
Man.
So the Green 32, and I'll throw some pictures up. It's a survivor car, kinda. He put another frame under it a few years ago. The original frame would actually was a drag car. So you know that original 32 frame was just
Memphis car
jacked up. But nevertheless, it is an old Rodders car. And if you've gone to the Instagram Rodders page, and if you've found pictures of a Green 32, that's Jimmy Fulgham and that car. And Lightning owns it and drives it every weekend practically. It is a driver 32 supercar. I want to bring him, Tim Scott, who we just spoke about, and Parker.
Yeah, you know, Parker, man.
Parker's epic, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I love his A-truck. That A-truck is cool because he's a theme guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a theme guy.
Yeah.
And I never got to see... I wanted to see it because I love UFO stuff. Like
his themes change all the time.
Yeah, that's what I love about that. That's what I was getting to. I hope he does it again. Some rendition. He had a flying saucer, kind of like he'd recovered it out in Rotswell.
UFO retrieval.
He's had an outhouse on the back of it.
You got to get pictures of that. Yeah.
Sets it up like a bootlegger truck.
Yeah.
I've surfed on an ironing board behind his truck, which is epic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had a bug years ago, and it was cool. It was he had bought it from somebody, and they had made a roadster out of it. So he went out in his backyard and cut a bunch of bamboo up and made a tiki roof out of it.
Epic.
And it was killer, man. You know, and he ended up blowing the motor up, and I think he sold it for practically nothing.
Right.
But I would be driving that car today. It looks so good.
Yeah.
I mean, just fantastic, man. Good stuff.
Yeah. He's got some interesting interesting ideas.
Yeah, he's a character.
Eclectic.
Yeah.
That you never know what he's gonna wear. You know, it could be a cowboy today.
Tomorrow. I love that. If you see the pictures from Blytheville, he's the guy in the top hat that looks like the magician. Which is epic, man. I am
and
a
he's
hat guy.
Totally top hat. So he rolled up there with a different hat on.
Yeah.
And we get there, we go to the start line, we're all sitting around. Well, this guy walks up with a white beard. Mm-hmm. And has a top hat on. And I'm thinking, that guy will get along with Parker really well. It ended up being Parker.
It was Parker.
Threw me off.
You got a brother? You got a brother?
That's hilarious.
Love it, man. Parker. Yeah, I've known Parker a long time.
He's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's down to come for whatever. When we have random people that come into town, which happens a lot, they'll message us and be like, hey, can you meet us at the airport? You know, we did that with the UK guys. We did that recently with some of our people from Arizona that we had never met, and they just messaged Rodders Car Club and was like, I know this is weird, but like, can you guys like give us a ride to Sun Studios? Like, yeah, sure, man. Greg, Parker, Tim, like always down. Tim had problems that day.
Yeah, he did. He got. He was on the hook for a tire or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, Greg's car gave out the brakes,
and oh, and they were so cool that they were loving the whole experience.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were in.
That guy was a '50s greaser. If yeah. I never got to meet him, but I saw the pictures.
Super
like,
cool people.
He's getting the whole Memphis experience. Be like, look, there's a pothole that blew a tire. This is what we do here.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, speaking of driving people places, though, I don't think we've even talked about the. The thing that with Hemmings coming in town and was doing the
did
one
we
perfect
not talk
day.
About that?
We never really talked about it. I think
that was epic.
I think you quit the podcast at some point there. And I mean,
it's a hiatus. It's not a quitting.
Yeah,
he took a break.
Yeah. Where's he at now?
I'm a busy man.
Where's he at, Brereton?
He's
where's
here.
He at right now?
He's here.
I'm in high demand. What can I say?
So tell us about it, Sean. What's
the
story?
Yeah, no. So Hemmings came in town, and Dan Stoner does a series on their YouTube channel called One Perfect Day. And I believe this was the second one that he shot. He had shot one in Austin at Lone Star Roundup. And then they came here. They, you know, went to Edelbrock and, you know, did stuff there. And then so on One Perfect Day, it's kind of Anthony Bourdain's show that he used to have, what was it?
No Reservations.
No reservations. Yeah.
I'm actually
it's
a fan
got
of
that
guy.
Yeah, it's got that feel to it. You know, it's go and eat someplace and, you know, music and
eat a bunch of places.
That. Yeah, eat a bunch of places. Yeah, he ate like five places.
Well, he's like, and of course, if you're in Memphis, you're going to eat again.
Yeah. More barbecue. Yeah, you know, which is
look,
like
I here. Like that he went to the ghetto to the tamale shop. Yeah, like, I thought that was that. I was like,
well, he didn't have a choice. I think Greg was riding him around.
Huh?
That one's.
He didn't have a choice. He didn't have a choice. Like, you know, Greg hijacked him basically. And I think by the end of it, Greg was probably like injecting insulin into himself to keep going.
He went to Pop's in Orange Mound,
which is epic.
Yeah. In the Roadster.
In the Roadster.
Yeah.
And ate on the trunk of the Roadster.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. Pop's is okay. Here's a weird thing. In Memphis, tamales are a very common dish.
Yeah.
And it happened. I am told from the
are they?
A lot. Yeah. Yeah.
The Spanish conquistadors, I believe.
No. Hernando
back
DeSoto.
In 1862.
I think this is why you needed to graduate high school.
But no, I do know the story.
I do not think they teach.
He knows the story.
I know the story.
Tamale history.
So migrant workers in the Mississippi Delta, who, you know, Mexican migrants who came to work the cotton fields, left tamales in the Delta, and they trickled up to Memphis.
Really?
Tamales, when you go to a restaurant, don't be shocked.
It's a side
tamales
dish.
Are here. You know, it is. My entire life.
Yeah, yeah. Corky's Barbecue, a Memphis staple, has them on the menu.
Yeah.
That's a side. And they're actually decent.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah. You'll go to a wing shop and they'll have tamales.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're also in the South and in Memphis specifically where spaghetti is a side dish.
It is. Yeah.
You can't just serve spaghetti.
Right. Because
if you do that, you're going to get.
With barbecue sauce.
Yeah, and that's it. And they're going to be like, I see you got the spaghetti. We did it. So at the fire department, we cook all the time. And the new kids will come in from like California, the transplants.
Right.
Yeah. And they'll cook spaghetti, and you'll have the vets like, so where's the catfish?
Right. Right. Yeah.
This is not a main.
This is a side.
Yeah.
We don't want the salad. Right, where's the catfish?
Yeah. Yeah. In Memphis, Tennessee, spaghetti is like macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird to me.
So, are you
that's because you're a Yankee.
Yeah. Right. So, how about a Cool Lickle? You guys, I know Mike knows.
Pickle Kool-Aid.
So, so that's another thing. And in a lot of convenience stores and small grocery stores, they'll have the big jar of pickles on the counter.
Yeah.
And what they do is they take cherry Kool-Aid and mix it in, and it literally turns the inside of the pickle kind of red.
Yeah.
But it's called a Kool-Lickle.
Yeah.
And it's a very...
Never heard of that? That's cold water Mississippi right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's also a communicable disease. It's like the blue waffle.
There's all sorts of weird stuff though. Like up in Selmer, you can get a slug burger.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
What's a slug burger?
Is it slugs? I don't know what it is. But I don't know.
I mean, it's a burger, but
there's no slugs in it.
Yeah. They do their own thing. You know, there's weird random burger shops that do random things. Like, I think the one down in Byhalia that's well known. I can't remember the name of it, but they actually they crumble up saltine crackers and mix it with their hamburger meat.
Yeah.
And they, but okay. Random, like, little towns around Memphis all do, like, this one weird thing with their hamburgers. Right. And it's kind of their
I think the most offensive version of any, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
In Shelby Forest, near Millington, there's a place that had, like, a meat patty with bologna in it, impregnated inside of it. Like, they would sear it, barbecue it, and then they'd put the burger meat around it.
Wow.
And then serve that. It was insane.
Did you try it?
Was it good?
Yeah.
It was amazing. Wasn't it?
It was different. The sodium, I have a problem. Annual, you know, doctor's appointment. My sodium level is still high from there.
And I will tell you this. It is not uncommon in Memphis, Tennessee for you to get a hamburger served on a glazed donut.
I've seen that.
If you come here, try that. Yeah. It is epic. I love it.
Yeah.
So I found out something today about Topps Barbecue, speaking of barbecue, and I didn't realize this. So there is a sandwich that's not on the menu, and it's called the Fireman. Okay?
I got to roll, guys. You guys have fun. Keep it going. Keep the conversation going.
We're good.
Look forward to seeing it.
Will do. Thank you, Mike.
We'll see you back next time, Mike.
Get your headphones.
So the Fireman is a top special, and it is a cheeseburger with barbecue pork and slaw on it and jalapenos and hot sauce. So they call it the Fireman, but it is cow and pig together. So it's where they stuff meat. So it's good. I had one. It's really good.
Unaffiliated with the fire department, I think.
This is not part of the MPD, but it is. It's the Fireman.
Yeah. Well, we probably do need to wrap this up.
Yeah, I know we need to wrap it up. Yeah. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. So, does anybody have any car stuff going on? What's happening? I've got coilovers coming and mercury stuff coming.
At some point, I got to put my starter on my 55.
Well, did you ever get your rear end? You had some welding to do in the ass end of that car. Is that put together yet?
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, you need to do that. That's important.
I'm waiting on my shop to get built so I can get my thing in there. Shop should be...
Are they working on
Monday,
it now?
Monday.
Starting Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to go crazy and make the guy do it on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got to flip out on it.
Yeah. Nice. Well, so I thought he was going to do the permit, and he didn't do the permit. So I had to, I jumped through the hoops on Thursday or whatever to do it. But, you know, I don't know when you find out that you got the permit and whatever else. But I'm like, dude, just start.
Do something.
Start moving dirt.
Cut the grass, do something.
Just start moving dirt around. Like, they can't get it. They can't get me for building anything if you're just moving dirt.
Amen. So since we've all been together as a group, we've had a few episodes that we've done. And I've been meaning to talk to you, Sean, about the photographer episode.
Yeah.
Crazy interesting. I mean, I really kind of geeked out on that one when I was putting it together.
Yeah.
It's super neat, man.
Good.
So I've got a few, and it's like I said in the podcast, I've got a few photographer friends that I've called and said, I know this car thing might not be your deal, but watch it. And they loved it.
Yeah,
They got it. So, anywhere from wedding photographers to I've got one guy who does a lot of, seniors and school kids and that kind of thing. So, he thought, man, that's super cool.
Yeah. It's funny because all the photography industry is all geared toward, weddings and portraits and maybe street photography or landscape photography or whatever, but there's never anything about car photography. And it's funny because you watch all these webinars and stuff like that or whatever, and they're always talking about that kind of stuff, and it's like that doesn't really translate into some of the things that you have to worry about with cars,
Sure.
So it was really cool to have those guys on, and they're incredible. And really, I want to be able to show their photos because. It's like, man, when you're sitting there just watching us all the time, like to be able to see those kind of photos pop up.
Man, the cover photo from that episode, with the killer cab, it's just like on one wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's insane, man.
Yeah, that was Brian's, right? Beers?
Yes.
Take that one?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was very cool.
I had one of yours on the last episode of what's his name? Dwayne. No, who was our guest? Daryl Nelson.
Oh yeah, Daryl doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tigger.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, he got. I got photos of it, and Cole also got photos of it. Cole got the whole thing. I had just gotten there, so I didn't have my phone or my phone. I didn't have my camera on burst.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking as it comes up, I hit it. And I'm thinking it's on burst. I'm like, oh no! And I'm like, click, click. So I got it there, and then I got it again. Like it was when it was partially down. But he bent the whole front axle on that thing.
The one pass he made, is that it? Just one pass?
I think he had made one before that or whatever. But that one, he was going all out, and he took the wheelie bars off.
Put it on.
You
the
know,
bumper.
He was like, I'm gonna put it on the bumper, and I think it. He put it on the bumper and scared the crap out of, scared the crap out of himself, and he lifted and it brought it down too fast.
Oh,
and just bent the front, the straight axle, you know, and it took it over into the wall, and but it just messed up the fender.
That's okay.
A little bit, you know,
drag car.
He was really surprisingly, he was not a he was upset about it. He didn't show it.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I did this.
Yeah.
This is my fault.
Yeah.
I did this.
Yeah, well, I think that was it, you know.
I guess there's a level of you know that could happen.
Yeah.
You know, when you do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I get it. It's a cool car.
Yeah.
Super cool. I love Mercury stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, guys, I think this is probably going to wrap it up for us. It looks like they're getting ready to do some barbecue stuff behind us. So.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to try to get Parker, Tim, and Lightning on the show coming up. Anybody else got anything happening?
I'm going to Middle Tennessee tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And you are buying?
Traded for.
Okay, cool. Even better.
We had the drama with the four-door hardtop.
Yes,
the
we
64.
Did.
I fell out of love with it.
Yeah?
Because I couldn't start building it.
Yeah.
Couldn't sell it. Can't sell it. Nobody's interested in the four-door.
Yeah.
So you do the next logical thing. You buy a two-door SS.
You buy another one.
You buy another one. And so that's happening. I'll get you some pictures. Maybe you can put that on there.
Dig that. Dig that.
Yeah, it's stupid. Welcome to the blues, my man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's stupid funny. Car crap, man. Yeah.
Well, Javi, tell us again where we are, what, you know, who.
So this is Hot Rod Blues coming to you from the. Yeah.
Tom Lee Park.
Tom Lee. Well, it's not Tom Lee Park. I believe they renamed it and rededicated this park Tyree Nichols, the. Yes, that happened. They opened the new park.
I didn't know that.
It's the pavilion. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Almost 2 weeks after everything, we had a really black eye. I don't really want to go into all that.
Well, right,
I don't
know, but you know, I just think that, I mean, Tom Lee was.
I'm talking about.
That's a great story, too.
The pavilion. That is a great story.
Yeah.
The pavilion.
Yeah,
is dedicated that park within the park. They didn't erase Tom Lee from there.
I was like, wow,
what he did and what he did in the history remains. I believe Tyree had taken some pictures of with him at the bridge with the monument.
That,
if you want to quickly tell, you're the historian in the group. Well, Tom Lee, is it too long?
I don't know the entire story. There was a steamboat accident that
Sultana.
Happened. The Sultana. I think the boiler exploded is the story.
Yeah, they were overloaded coming back from Vicksburg.
Yeah.
Coming up. They were taking soldiers back up north.
Yeah.
And they were overloaded. It was a paddle wheeler. The boiler exploded on it north of Memphis. And you know, 3,000 people went into the water or something, huh?
More people died on it than the
Yeah. And Tom Lee was a African American who was fishing, didn't know how to swim, with a John boat, and he happened to be there with it or by it when it happened, and he saved. I don't know.
40 people.
It was maybe more than that.
Wow.
I don't remember, but they said He'd go and get somebody, pull them into the boat, and take them to the side and go back out, you know. So
there's actually a museum over in Marion.
There is a museum in Marion, Arkansas, which I haven't been to yet, but I do want to go to that.
They have a monument here on the river, Tom Lee Park, named after him, and it's a really beautiful monument. And I don't know the year, but we have historical flooding here.
I'll get pictures,
Historical flooding, you know where I'm going with this. The river came all the way up, and it was almost ghostly, because the water came up, and the monument is him reaching down into
on a dry day when the water's down, it just kind of looks like, okay. But when the river actually came up, I don't know if they planned it that way or whatever, but it was perfect line.
I don't think they could plan it.
I don't know how you do that. You know, that's just the universe doing its thing, and it looks, it's just ghostly because it's him reaching into the water.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, yeah, this is a, it's a cool, it's a really, really cool park, and they've done a lot of work to
$60 million dollar renovation.
Yeah, $60 million renovation to this thing, and it really was just kind of a flat space, and they've chopped it up and made all sorts of different little areas.
It's made things a little weird and hard for the competition, too.
Yeah, it's difficult for Memphis and Bay, for sure.
Well, they cut the teams. They cut like 35 teams.
And they moved the whole backyard thing up onto Beale Street itself, right?
As far as the competition?
The backyard competition?
If they did that, I don't know. Riverside usually has what they call back porch grillers or whatever the competition is.
I think that's up on Beale Street.
They've eliminated. That's not even part of this competition.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
They've moved it up there.
Yeah, in an effort to try and the erosion and messing up the park. Essentially, Memphis was spending all this money every year with the Music Fest, and it turns into Mud Fest, which is a big joke because it rains.
Right.
Putting new sod down, putting new everything down, and I think they're just getting a little more responsible to the begrudging attitude of the people that have been doing it for everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be responsible. You just want to have fun, but you got to pay for it.
They need to just do it out on Mud Island and be done with it.
You would think
it'd be easier out there, you know. There's nothing going on out there.
Yeah, logistically though, what happens, you know?
Yeah,
like that's a nightmare.
Yeah,
if one way in, one way out, kind of thing.
That's true. Yeah,
but yeah, you have a. If you come to Memphis and you come here, we told you at the beginning of the podcast, it helps if you know somebody. You can get in, you can buy a ticket and walk around, but the real fun happens if you're associated with somebody that's on the team.
Yeah.
View of the river. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm really glad we had the space to do this. I'm glad we were all together today.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us down,
man.
It was awesome.
We're gonna do it again.
Guys, let's get us out of here. Javier, we haven't done it in a while, bud.
Oh, this has been Hot Rod Blues with your host, Sean Barrington, our absentee host, Mike Abbott. Sorry, Michael. Javier Agustin with Bomber Steel Customs, Sean Barrington's over there.
I'm young.
There's so many. No, you're not.
I'm the old version.
This is Sean Young with Kingfish Metalworks and my good friend, Matt Marion. What are we doing, Matt? Are we going to promote the shift knobs? I want this guy to get back into it.
Yeah, dude.
He's been busy. He's still doing the shift knobs, but producing on the thing. But he's great. Matt, thank you for coming in, driving in from Arkansas. You guys take it easy. Sean, take us out.
Yeah, thank you to the firefighters for having us down
and
here.
And the usual suspects for letting us host up top.
Yeah, definitely.
It was great seeing you guys again.
Thank you guys.
See ya.
Bye.